wise weigh their words on a scale with gold. Hello everyone, I'm McDaniel Phillips, and this is Times of Refreshing, a ministry of Bethesda Hall in partnership with TWR Asia. Kenneth Wong is our host. He's an author, teacher, and itinerant speaker. You know, although it's been more than 35 years since my daughter was born, I can still remember that day when the doctor shouted, "It's a girl!" Those three words changed my life. And that's the power of words. If we are what we say, we need to remember the wisdom of this proverb. A man of knowledge uses words with restraint, and a man of understanding is even-tempered. Today, Ken admonishes us to watch our words.
Hello, friends. It's good to be with you once more, and thank you for listening in to Times of Refreshing. We sometimes hear this expression being said, "I wish I could take back my words." Or on other occasions, we may hear it said, "I have to eat or to swallow my own words." Those are common expressions to refer to the fact that words once uttered have a tremendous influence either for the better or the worse, beyond what we normally appreciate or realize. And I guess this is especially relevant for those of us who are having to use words most of the time, like a preacher or a teacher. For example, in what I do regularly, that is in teaching from the Bible, there's a great difference between live preaching and pre-recorded teaching like what I'm doing now. In a live preaching situation, you just have one shot and you either make it or you don't, so you make the best use of it. But whatever is said cannot be unsaid, and what is left unsaid will not be heard. But in a pre-recorded situation like what I'm doing now in the studio, I can exercise a certain degree of control in the sense that if I'm not satisfied with the last sentence that I have spoken, or I've made a mistake, I can just stop right here and erase the part that I have not done right or to my satisfaction, replace it by overdubbing it with something that I want to say. I can repeat the cuts and the takes as many times as I wish until I'm satisfied with the outcome. But real life is very far different from real life, in that we rarely have an opportunity for a second chance. And this is particularly so in the area of the words that come out of our mouths. Hence the title of this series of two talks on Watch Your Words. I want to touch on the importance, indeed the imperative, of watching our words, not just from a practical and ethical point of view, but more importantly from a biblical point of view. Let me begin by just quoting something that Jesus said, and that is always a good and safe place to begin with. Let me read to you from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 12, from verse 33 through to 37. "Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." So that's Jesus speaking on the imperative and not just the importance of the words we speak as an outcome of what we really are on the inside. The first thing I want us to notice from this passage is that this is not an exhortation for us to practice some kind of contrived control over our tongue, because that cannot be done on a consistent, regular basis unless it is linked to an inward change in the life and the nature of that person. It's not about a method, it's about the man. What is practiced will naturally follow what the person is in reality. So it's not merely a matter of just saying the right things, but really of being righteous. So that's the foundation, that's the root. We have heard Jesus say in those verses that good words must come from a good heart. out of a good treasure. Good fruit and good things will come out of a good nature. What's good on the inside will definitely be good on the outside. And conversely, if you see something bad on the outside, it tells you that what's on the inside is also bad. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And similarly, you can say out of the poverty or the leanness of the heart, the mouth speaks as well. So this is the first thing to recognize. It's not just about trying to say the right things at the right time, but being right. That's the fundamental thing. The second thing from these group of verses that we have read is this, that we are personally accountable and responsible for every word that is uttered, and we will be judged for that in a future day. We have read in verse 36, "But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." And this moves the motivation for watching our words beyond just what other people might say or think about what we say, to what God thinks and will judge us for what we say. What I would like to do is to look at this subject by doing a short study from the practical book of Proverbs in the Old Testament, and especially focusing just in chapter 10. But we will make short excursions here and there to different parts of the book of Proverbs, which have very much to say in different places on this same theme. Now, Proverbs chapter 10 is the beginning of a natural division in this whole book of Proverbs, which has 31 chapters, which is the reason why some people use it for a daily devotional reading, one for each day of the month. Now, Proverbs chapter 10 begins this way, the Proverbs of Solomon. And we find in general a pattern in the book of Proverbs from the beginning up to this point, and from this point onwards through to chapter 22. From chapters 1 through to 9, we find that there is in general more continuity and connection between the verses, and the themes are often presented in paragraphs. But from chapter 10 all the way through to chapter 22, verse 16, we find that there are some 375 proverbs, each fairly distinct in itself, and they are often presented as contrasting statements which are separated by a but. And we may come across some examples of this in the verses that we may refer to later on. But we are going to take as our home base Proverbs chapter 10, and we will consider the words of the righteous as they are described in this chapter, but in particular, in 5 of the verses in Proverbs chapter 10 that describe what the words of the righteous are, so that we'll be reminded to watch our words in these areas. And they touch on both the constructive aspects, that is what they should be, as well as the corrective aspects, what we sometimes say wrongly or do wrongly unwittingly. Now, over in the New Testament, the book of James is very much like the book of Proverbs because it has many practical things to say to us. And this includes the area of speech, the use of words and our tongue. In James chapter 3, verse 2, it says, "For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body." So that's the same aim that we have in going through this short study from Proverbs 10. And the aim is not to stumble in word. The first of these things that we want to consider from Proverbs 10 is the well of words. We read of this in verse 11 of Proverbs 10, where it says, "The mouth of the righteous is a well of life, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked." So here's an example of that kind of contrasting statement that I mentioned earlier on. Well, I want to focus on the first part of that verse, where it says, "The mouth of the righteous is a well of life." This is a positive description of what the mouth of the righteous should be. It should be like a fountain or a well of life. It's a source of life. And in a small village where water is hard to come by, that is really the most important thing in the whole village. It's the well. If it dries up or if the water goes bad, you may have to walk for kilometers to get your daily supply of water. That's how important and significant a well of life is. As a well or fountain of life, it's supposed to quench and to refresh regularly. It's supposed to revive the drooping spirit. It brings life to others where there is death, and it breathes life into situations which are discouraging or despondent. And this is what the mouth of a righteous person can do. The righteous person can speak life into the life of another person. It's like mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. That breath is a breath of life. Further on in the book of Proverbs in chapter 18, we find two other proverbs which are related to this subject. First, in Proverbs 18:4, the words of a man's mouth are deep waters. The wellspring of wisdom is a flowing brook. There is the same suggestion and picture of a well, but we note that the waters are deep. They are not shallow. In other words, it will not easily run dry. But then there is also the picture of a flowing brook. It's a stream or a river that is running. In other words, it is something that is dynamic. It's not static. So it's not just the carefully measured, thought-out words that a righteous man speaks that makes an impact, but it's the ordinary, everyday conversation. Every seemingly small and casual word has its place. Nothing is wasted. Every word counts and every word ministers life to others. And then we have the more well-known and often quoted verse in Proverbs 18:21, where it says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." The tongue and the words that issue from it can cut both ways, just like a two-edged sword. It can kill or it can heal. It can bring death or it can bring life. So beware of words which can deaden others or even kill others. Be careful of words which quench the Spirit of God instead of quenching the spiritual thirst of people. And you see that even the world recognizes this, as is captured in the old hit song titled "Killing Me Softly with His Love." Words can kill and have a destructive effect if they are not the right words or if they are not used rightly. So instead, speak words of life, which can bring health and healing where there is hurt and hopelessness. Here is another one, Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18. "There is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health." So do not use your words like someone flashing his sword all around, causing damage everywhere and leaving a trail of destruction. Keep away from reckless words, words which are caustic and corrosive and cutting. And sarcasm is one of the deadliest forms of words that belong to this family. But rather, speak words which promote health and healing. Are you like a village well or a fountain of life or a flowing brook where people come again and again to draw wells of living water, where they can come to replenish themselves, to be refreshed, where they love to drink of your words and to be refreshed by them? Or are you like a dried up old well that nobody comes to visit, or a dried up riverbed where people just walk over as a pathway? So that's the first thing. The mouth of the righteous is a well of life. Here is the second thing in Proverbs chapter 10 again, in verse 20, where it says, "The tongue of the righteous is choice silver, the heart of the wicked is worth little." I'll call this second point worth, the worth of the words of the righteous. The words of the righteous have value. They are of great worth. That is what choice silver suggests. It's something that is well chosen. It is not haphazard, not arbitrary, and it is of value. That's what choice silver is. And contrast this with the heart of the wicked, which it says is worth little. So the words of the wicked are worth little because they come from a heart that is wicked and worth little. So we see the same principle at work. What you see on the outside is what comes from the inside. Now, there are two aspects to this point about the worth of words. Number one is that the righteous speak worthy words. By this I mean that they give godly advice, and their comments and their counsel are things which others value and that they would desire to listen to and to heed. And secondly, the words that the righteous speak are also weighty words. In other words, they carry weight. They command attention. Their words count and they make a difference. And you can sometimes see this kind of marked difference around a conference table or a panel of speakers. Not every person's opinions or words carry equal weight. Some are weightier than others. Some are worth more than others. So people prick their ears and they listen up when certain ones speak, because their words carry weight and they are worth listening to, because there's substance in what they say, and what they say is backed up by their character, because they are people who walk the talk, because they do what they say, and what they say is what they are. So these are the kinds of people who command your respect and they command your attention. They don't have to shout or bang the table or make a big point about their words. In other words, they don't have to demand attention. They command attention by virtue of what they are in themselves. It's the weight of their character and their integrity. And this is opposed to the frivolous and light words that come out of people who are callous and thoughtless in what they say and what they do. It's what we called levity. And levity is the opposite of gravity, that is seriousness. So it has to do with a lightweight or heavyweight character, so to speak. Now, in the previous verse to Proverbs 10:20, in verse 19, we see something related here. It says, in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. So even if you have very much to say, don't say too much, because it's always better to err on the shorter, but sweeter and safer side of speech. We have the same thing reiterated later on in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 20, where it says, do you see a man hasty in his words? There is more hope for a fool than for him. There is much practical wisdom in those words, because we say what we think, and the speed of thought is sometimes much faster than the heart. Unless you think that this is some isolated advice from the Old Testament book of Proverbs, listen to what James has to say in the New Testament equivalent of a practical book. In James chapter 1 verse 19, it says, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Well, if you have never realized it before, then know that there is at least one thing that it's good and right to be slow at, and when you won't lose by being slow, and that is by being slow to speak. It also says slow to anger, but that really is the result of being slow to speak, and often it is hasty words that give rise to and stoke the fires of anger. This is what Thomas Watson, the 17th century pastor and preacher, said. God has given us 2 ears, but one tongue, to show that we should be swift to hear, but slow to speak. So let that be a reminder from nature to us to watch our words. Be a person of few but significant words. This truth dawned on me in a very unlikely but memorable way long ago. I remember one time at the end of a course that I was taking. We all had to appear individually before the course commander or the officer who was in charge and to be interviewed by him as a kind of review and evaluation. And I remember distinctly that he said to me that I was generally quite quiet throughout the course, but that once in a while he observed I would make a contribution and say something quite seriously and soberly with a few words, but it was significant. Now, I wasn't sure whether that was entirely true from my own honest observation, because I was never truly interested in the course. And most of the time, frankly, I wasn't paying attention, which is the real reason why I didn't say much, because I didn't really have much to say. But what I was struck with was his impression and connection between few words and significant words. He might have been impressed with that, but I certainly was not impressed by my own words. But what I was impressed with was that even if you have really little or nothing much to say, just the very fact of your honesty and paucity with words is enough to create a favorable effect. In 2 Samuel chapters 15 through to 17, we find a description of a very intriguing episode of how the counsel of a man called Ahithophel, who was none other than King David's trusted counselor, was defeated by the counsel of another man called Hushai the Archite. And in chapter 17, verse 14 of 2 Samuel, we read this. The advice of Hushai the Archite is better than the advice of Ahithophel. What happened Why did the words of the trusted counselor of the king fall before a relative newbie called Hushai, who was also described as David's friend? When one of David's sons called Absalom usurped the throne, David's counselor Ahithophel defected to Absalom. Instead, Hushai was left by David in Jerusalem under the same pretext, but really in order to stand up and speak for him and for God. And this is a powerful illustration of the worth of words of a righteous man. And we see in this striking episode that it is loyalty to God and righteousness, it's the fear of the living God, that is the determinant of whose words will stand the test of time and the test of truth. The words of Hushai the Archite stood because he was David's friend and he remained loyal and faithful to him. While the words of Ahithophel, although he was officially the king's counselor, fell because he had defected to Absalom and was unloyal to his master and king David. In 1 Samuel chapter 3 verse 19, it was spoken of the boy Samuel as he grew up, that the Lord was with him and let none of his words fall to the ground. So for those who are righteous and if God is with you, your words will not fall to the ground. And I hope in our time together you have been refreshed by God's presence and reached by His Word.
The words of the righteous should be constructive as well as corrective. Remember to speak words of life, which bring health and healing where there was once hurt and hopelessness. Thank you for that, Kenneth. This is Times of Refreshing, and I invite you to join us again tomorrow when Kenneth concludes his study from the book of Proverbs. Right now, I'd like to give you a few ways through which you can contact us because we want to hear from you. Send us a text message, the number 9431-3813, the mailing address, Post Office Box 392, Thompson Road Post Office, Singapore, 915714. Also, Times of Refreshing is on Facebook. You can go there to get the latest updates and to give us your views right on our Facebook page. And I also invite you to visit our website, www.timesofrefreshing.asia. And there you can listen to the program right online. And Times of Refreshing has launched its own iPhone app that will allow you to directly access broadcast messages and podcasts right from your iPhone. I'm McDaniel Phillips, inviting you to join us again for Times of Refreshing.